Okay, this is the, this is the 19th class. Thank you, Rabbi Sedley, for reminding me. This is the 19th class in the series of classes on the God Fuplex, the creation section. We are in chapter 30, which the Rambam is giving his commentary, pasuk by pasuk commentary, on the first chapter, the first perek in Bereishis. And we're up to page 365. To summarize, the Rambam has developed, is developing what we have referred to as a peirush, an interpretation of commensurability, which is trying to relate the meanings of the psukim to what he understands to be the Aristotelian understanding and theory of the natural world. And he mentioned that the pasuk, which speaks about a Kadosh Baruch Hu creating the Rakia and dividing between the Mayim Ya'al Rakia and that which below the Rakia, that this Mayim should not be understood this actually literally. In other words, the Mayim below the Rakia is actually water, H2O. But the Mayim Ya'al Rakia is a different type of water, and that basically would much more correspond to what Aristotle says to be the substance of the heavens. Now, in beginning on 365 in the Schwartz edition, this is in Perek Lamed, 365. So the Rambam says like this: Harakia aspa neitzam ben amayim kavo she'om hugdala tipas tipahem tzoyis. There was brings upon a gracious rabba, right, which speaks about the Rakia being created from mayim. V'chein dibu v'ikolo kima Rakia shamayim. Kashev hadila kineshis ba'a shituf Hashem v'she'en shamayim omor rishon abomu v'shesmer v'zahoretz em eilu asher nikur shamayim. Well, the Rambam is saying over here that they have the name in common, right? But this shamayim here doesn't necessarily mean what shamayim mean, Rakia shamayim. In other words, this Rakia and Shamayim. In other words, Rakia, when he says, Vayikra Elokim Rakia Shamayim, the Rakia is not the Shamayim of Vayikra Elokim, Eisa Shamayim Vez Oretz. Because Shit of Hashem Azay Yishkama Shamayim Ametitim Yikul Rakia, Kamo Shekol Rakia Amiti Shamayim. Shenema Vayitin Oysam Elokim Rakia Shamayim. וכן הסבור במיר הזוז מה שכבר הוכה פה לכל חמובסי שהכוחו כולם והשמש והריח תקועים בגלגל כי אין ריקוניס באוילה. In other words, the sun and stars are all תקוע גלגלגל. In other words, they're embedded in the celestial sphere. כי אין ריקוניס באוילה. In other words, there's no empty space in the world. Here, the Rambam is taking the Aristotelian position in contradiction to that of the Kalam, that the vacuum is non-existent. לא פלי שטח הגלגל כפי שבדמה ההמון. Okay, in other words, so therefore, right, basically what he's just inferring over here is that in other words, things are embedded in something else. There isn't something which is empty. It doesn't mean that the planets are in the air, in the space, which you call Shamayim. Rather, they're embedded in something. There's no empty space. In other words, there's something that is common to them that's called Mayim. La'achem mitpatzel b'sholei suros, mashu mimenu nasa yomim, mashu mimenu nasa rakia, or mashu nasa me'al rakia zeh. In other words, basically there was a certain substance called, I guess, Mayim. That was the original substance. That was created at once. And then after that, there was a process by which three things emerged naturally from this Mayim. And one of them is called Yomim, which means actually water, H2O. And one of them is named Rakia, and one is something which is above the Rakia, which refers to the Galgal, the celestial sphere. Zekulo chus la'aretz, all these are separate from the land. Basically, what it says before it means is that basically, the Rambam is basically explaining that the Pasuk is coming to explain to us, you know, the emergence of the Aristotelian, you know, physics as we understand it. In other words, that was above the Rakia, is only called Mayim, just it's only a name, Mayim. It's not really water. I shouldn't take the pasuk literally. Because, of course, we know that which is above the, you know, the celestial spheres are not contained of water. Water is only terrestrial. So it's a mail's gamma chachamma oimim abba nittles bapadis amur v'yakiva shatem agin la'abdis shayis to'o altamu mayim mayim shkakasub dova shkorem l'yikon l'neged einay. In other words, Rambam is arriving from Chazal that sometimes the word mayim does not necessarily refer to H2O as we know it. So therefore what the Rambam is saying is that don't be surprised that the pasuk calls something mayim, it doesn't really mean mayim, but really mayim is just a name, a term that's used to denote things other than H2O. He's pointed a for v'lamad lekach. Says the Rambam, you should reflect upon this and learn from this. Im atam min haloimdim lekach. If you're the type of people who, you know, I don't want to say it's about Musa.
Is this from Aristotle?
What?
Is this from Aristotle? The idea of water being something else?
No, I don't think so. Well, it's but no. In other words, it is from Aristotle. What is from Aristotle is In other words, it is from Aristotle that there is no water above the Rakia. That's from Aristotle for sure. The celestial sphere is not composed of water. That is for sure from Aristotle.
The water is a musa.
What?
But the water is a musa.
Ah, this I'm not sure. I'm looking at the notes on the bottom. I don't see here. I'm looking at number 19 in here. He brings from Munk and Pinnus, but I'm not sure this is from Aristotle. I'm not sure this is from Aristotle at all. Water is one of these sodas, but that the celestial spheres above derive from water, I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. Water is only used b'shem shutup and vat. Okay? Now, In other words, basically what the Rambam says is the following thing. He says, right, you should, if you're one of the people who learns from things, learns a lekach, takes musa, you should know how important, right, you should understand what has been proven based upon meteorology, I think. Meteorologica is meteorology. Meteorology means the atmosphere, the sky, the heavens, the earth. In other words, the physical structure of the sky and to the terrestrial world. That's meteorology. In other words, what I'm saying is that, right? In other words, right? In other words, it's very important to keep in mind what has been proven, right, by Aristotle regarding the meteorology of the world and how the psukim have to reflect the truth of meteorology. That's what the Rambam is saying. So Rambam says on page 366, the next page in the Shvuot edition, "Bimashiro lechaladas from the simei lav libchatam asher beglalo lo neva biyom sheni kitoy." Oh, says the Rambam, now you understand why does it not say in the pasuk regarding the second day, Kitoiv, Elokim Kitoiv. Yudea taz divacham al derech hadra, shatoi b'yaseh behem heim sh'ombo lefi shalma b'lechas hamayim. Because the water only emerged, finally, right, the next day. Gabatam lechach b'enei boa b'oi, ki kol eima sh'yizkeh dava b'duv ha'mtsiyas b'chudeshes, Kitoiv only refers to something which, in other words, which remains a natural constant. In other words, you don't say Kitoiv on something which has not come to its final natural expression. In Yodonista, when it says the Rakia is called Mayim, it's something which is hidden. You see, because really, you see, there's no water there. If you take the pshat, you take it literally, in a cursory way, it's not true, says the Rambam. It contradicts science. It contradicts meteorology, which has been proven, says the Rambam, rigorously. There's no connection, right? Right? In other words, right? There's no water in the sky. כל שכן, אם ידמה מישהו, אז שרקיע, הוא עושה, הוא משהו עליו, הוא מעל השמיים, ואז ידעו ונמנה עוד ג'וסף, רק עוד ג'וסף, מלייס מוסה. In other words, there's no such thing as water above the sky. זה הרמב״ם. אבל מבינים עוד לפי משמעות הצפון ולפי המכוון בו, הוא יויס חבוי, כי הוא חייב לייס בין הסוידס המוסתורים, כדי שאמן לא ידע עיסוי. But something hidden here, says the Rambam. ונדע בכזה, קץ יאב של המוער עליו כיתוב. How can you say it's כיתוב? המשמעות של כיתוב הוא שאתה אלס גלוי עבורו, יש להביס לידי מציע של המציע הזאת, ממש קיומה. In other words, כיתוב means the thing already has a permanent natural expression. So the Rambam can't be. So you see a hidden thing. It doesn't say kitov here to tell us the secret that what? That there's no water above the sky. But davish in yodo chavo is the hidden apshuto edo nimtza eitho to elis kumlu yesh pala nashim shoyma ala odois of kitov. How can you say kitov on something which is not true? Bucha ni lo hoizim lecha av hara vishazeh av shu chelik godom oi ba mentzoyim אינו תחס המחובס להמשיך קיום המציע שיום עליו כיתוב, אלא בגלל הכרח חזחייב כדי שהאורת תתגלה. Haven zos. But the Rambam is saying, is the following thing. The Rambam is saying is, like this. What the Rambam is saying is that the psukim are only speaking about, are not speaking about nature the way it permanently is. They're speaking about a stage of the formation of nature. And for this reason, it doesn't say kitov. Okay? And if it said kitov, then it would mean that what? It would mean that there's water above the sky, which there clearly isn't. So the Rambam says, this is one of the Vama and the Storm, the secret things in the Pasuk. The bottom line, which the Rambam is saying over here, is that the Pesukim have to be understood in terms of what we know to be scientifically correct, which is Aristotle's meteorology, right? And we can see even hints in the Pasuk, right, as to the truth of Aristotle, but the very fact is that things that apparently are a contradiction to Aristotelian physics, the Torah is hitting at us by, you know, giving us beremes, alluding to the fact that this is not the final natural state. ממה שחייב את הלדס ושחכמים הבהירו שהעשב העצם הצמיח הקל מן האורץ הצמיח על האחר שהם תעלה. What you have to know is that חכמים made it clear, right, that the grasses grew only after water came down. ושדיברו ועד יאללה מן האורץ וישקס כל בני אדמה. In other words, says the Rambam, the Pesukim are out of order. What does it say in Perek Aleph? In Perek Aleph, it says what in Bereishis? Tacha Eretz Desha. Which seems to imply what? Which seems to imply that grass came out of the ground. But that can't be. Why can't that be? Because you can't have grass without water. So in other words, even though only first in Bereishis, in Perek Beis, does it say Eid Yalem in Aretz, a cloud went up for him, for Ishkes, Pnei Kol Adama. That took place before the grass grew up. Was the Rambam saying, Avada the Pesukim are not in order? Right? Right? Who here, and he brings from Ungeles, Vanana Husalik Ben Ara, a cloud, right? Went up from the land, who here Zoyz Ben Akos, Shalem Vachosiach Asoda Tem Yaba'oretz. It says that there was no grass. There was. It says in the Pasuk, V'chalsiyach hasad etem haya ba'oretz. And then it says after that, V'ein yalam na'oretz, V'yishkes kol b'nei adama. Meaning that what? There wasn't grass before, there was a cloud that went up and watered the ground. Haresh is a bora. No, it wasn't bora. It means the Rambam says that you can't learn the psukim, the verses in order. It wasn't God created grass without the first being water. But rather we have to look in Perek Beis and see the first thing was water and then the grass grew up. Alright, so already, what do we see in the Rambam? We see two principles which are important. Principle number one is that if the psukim are referring to things like to the physical constitutions of parts of the universe which you know are natural, like mayim, which is me'alaraki above the sky, then we should know that mayim is only called a shemishuta. That has no real meaning. Because we know that the real water is only in the terrestrial world, H2O, right, and doesn't exist in any form, shape, or form in the celestial world. That's number one. Number two, we see other cases where we see the Chumash clearly not speaking in order. Because in Perek Aleph, it says, Tacha ha'oretz desha, esa mazriya zera, right? And in Perek Beis, it speaks about what? Eidya Laman of Hishka, right. It's called Pnei Adama. Obviously, this second Pasuk in Parak Beis took place before the Pasuk in Parak Aleph. So what is the Rambam saying? The Rambam is saying two things. Number one is that things which appear to be violations of the natural mineralogy, we cannot take literally. You have to understand the words in a different sense. And number two, the Pasukim are not necessarily in order. Okay, now, comes the Rambam with the final conclusion. This is the final Machlok HaPatrish on page 367. Yodei Ata, you know. Hama'ayin, the person who really, the thoughtful, intelligent reader. Sharishaina Besibois Hitavos Vakilyon. What's the order? What is the natural, in other words, what is the cosmic natural order, right, which brings about the cause and effect in the physical world? It says the Rambam like this: Achrei Koisach Hagolgolim. After you have the movements, the powers, the movements of the Gagolim, those are the highest celestial spheres. Once again, as far as Aristotle is concerned, the boundary of the world are these celestial spheres. Hey, Ba'or V'Achoshech. First comes Or, light, and then darkness. V'Shalachon V'Akor Shebik V'Seyim. After that, there's heat and there's cold. Ayedei Tnuos HaGalgom Et Avim HaYisoydeis. By the movement of the celestial spheres, the different yesodas, the four elements, right? Right? Eish, Mayim, Wuch, right? Vadama, are mixed up. Vayidea or vachoshech shayna amit mezgustam. And basically this mixture, right, is changed by light and darkness. Menit mazgut ha rishayna noitzim shnei kiturim. Now the first mixture produces what's called two kiturim, two types of qualities. Ashehem Rishena ben Sibas Hataifas Hamilogios Kula, which are the basis of the two types of meteorological phenomena. And these two Sakitulam, I think, are actually one is wet and one is dry. This is Aristotle. Because it produces wetness and dryness. Ashabinem Hamata. And between them is Mata, which is dew. After that you get the grass, because after you have water and wetness, you get grass. Now after the grass, you get what animal? Because the animals eat for the grass. So once again, the spheres move, they mix the elements, they produce wetness, water, which produces grass. After grass, you get animals, because animals eat grass. And the final haircut is man. By the way, we see that man doesn't really occupy any major or significant part of the world. It's just another form of an animal. In other words, darkness is part of the natural phenomena of the terrestrial world, and light, I guess, is something which comes into it from above. Dayech! Shebeider or nishar hamatzav akavua. Without light, then you have the state of the world. In other words, my separations are going according to this order. What's the Rambam saying? This is the most important statement the Rambam has to make. In other words, don't look at Maisa Bereshis as being a one day, and then, in other words, a series of days. But rather, Maisa Bereshis is just communicating to you this meteorological order from the celestial spheres to the mixing of the elements, to the grass, to the animals. Zemamish mebli lahaksa dava mizos. My separation is just communicating to you the meteorological order of the world. And has nothing to do with creation and time. This is a piece of what the Rambam is saying. Now, this is an incredible statement. I know you don't believe me, but let's look at the Abba now. Yeah.
Is this not time bound? Many
no, not time bound. Nothing to do with time.
It's a certain development. So.
No, he's claiming not like this. Says, I'm going to read the Abbanel, okay? The Abbanel in Bereshis. It's Abbanel al Torah, and it appears on Daf Yod. And the Abbanel has a heading. This is the older Abbanel. It's an introduction. It was the Abbanel wrote an introduction to Bereshis. He has several chakiras. Okay? And in other words, investigations, essays. And the Abbanel says, we're going to speak about were things created in an order of days or not. Hashelates. Second, ninth question. Says the Abbanel. Okay, I'm in the older edition of the Abbanel. I know they put out a new edition, a blue and white edition. I'm in the old brown edition. Humash Zocha Harab HaMeira. What the Rav HaMeira, the Rambam, and the guide, speaks about. He speaks about the first 3 days. There wasn't movement of the sun. He spoke about that. So there was, if the lights are created on the fourth day, so what happened the first 3 days? You can't speak about days. This is the question we've been speaking about. We spoke about the very beginning of chapter 30. So the Meir Levuchim thought to say, to answer, that from the first day the Ma'iras were created, fit Noah Hagalgal, and the celestials feel moved, we spoke about this, and the days were mentioned by this primordial movement. According to the opinion that everything was created on the first day. In other words, basically, and the Bein Avukim brought proof from this. We spoke about. As Hashemayim the Rabbis told the Seyem. In other words, as Hashemayim means everything in the sky. As the Oretz Rabbis told the Seyem. Okay, this is summarizing what the Rambam said in already chapter 30. Right, we just Bob and El so far as reading the Rambam the way we read it. V'amoram gam ken shekol ma'aseh bereishis b'kol ma'aseh nivrol b'tzivyon nivrol. Chazal also said that everything of my separation was created, right, in its final state. It's a v'yoynam. V'shleimusam v'yafim v'om gamin sh'shamayim v'orot nivu ka'acha. Shamayim was created in one, like it says, Shayo, koyani aleim yamdu yachta. In other words, everything was created in a perfect state. There wasn't an evolution of things from a primordial state to a perfect state. Everything was created the way it is. V'yachshav ha'rab sh'loyu malachis nevdolis b'shishish yamim. The Rav holds it wasn't separate. Malachis. There weren't separate acts of creation in the 6 days. Ki b'yoyim echad v'sha achas nivra kol. In 1 day, in 1 hour, everything was created the way it is. Etzloy. Aval nizku oizem ha-yom ha-maisa b'reishis. So why are days mentioned in maisa b'reishis? Why are days mentioned in b'reishis, right? L'maisa madregas ha-nimtzayim. To allude to the fact, to teach you, that there's a hierarchy in creation. In other words, from the spheres, to the mixing of the elements, to wet, to vegetation, to animals, to man. This is the natural order. There weren't real days. Here, Rav, the Abbanel is saying this. I'm not saying this. Nelson Slivka is not saying this. The Abbanel is saying this. There weren't actual days. One thing didn't precede another. But the Maisa Bereishis, there is no temporal order. One thing came before another. I will show you how Dvorim Shachrei Briasam Boisa Shah Shiru Akon is Galav and Israelpul. I say him Acha Kach, which is a Gamkara Inyan Yichor Ayomim. La Ares Pu'ules Mashkavar Nivro Kavoshes Chati Medait. In other words, the days are just a way of explaining to us the way the world works. But there's one on one day after another day. That's the way the Abbanel learns the Rambam. And that's actually the pshat of the Rambam. The Rambam says it subtly. You can almost miss it. But in fact, I think that Professor Schwartz missed it. Because there should have been a footnote on this last, with great humility, There should have been a footnote on this last sentence, on this first paragraph on page 367, which there isn't. But the fact is, the Ababadel understands that the Rambam, and this appears to be what the Rambam is saying, that days have no meaning in my subconscious and have no temporal meaning. So that everything was created the way it is, and that all the days that come to teach us is that what? Is that there's an order to the world.
Also, we can tell the kind of attending on the power of the ogres.
Maybe.
That's what the Rambam says there on that issue.
Yeah.
It says, it teaches that a summer on the Ra'ilam doesn't mean that it was expressed that way in the Torah.
Now, what's interesting is, I have a question.
Because that Babanel says that not only days that Aram broke back, there was no cloud, there was no stable.
So I have a question. Didn't the Rambam believe in Kriyas Shema alone? If God can create the world, I have a question. If God can create the world, Yesh B'Yayin, right? He can't create things in order? Now, you could say that the Rambam was bothered by the following issue. What was the issue? First of all, in the introduction of The Rambam says clearly in his introduction, on page 14, he says here, I'm reading from page 14 in the Schwartz edition, the end of the first paragraph, he says, Chochmas ha-teva goybelas b'chochmas ha-loikus v'chochmas lo b'zman ha-irah. In other words, Chochmas ha-teva, which means physics, nature, right, comes before, is a necessary prerequisite to Chochmas ha-loikus. To metaphysics, knowledge of God. Lachain kavu shebesifu is Allah yiftach b'maisav bereishis. For this reason, bereishis begin the chumash begins with bereishis to teach you that what before you have theological views, right? You have to know what's going on in the world, in science. Chuchopas ateva, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam also said this in at the very end of the first chaylik, right? He said this in Perek Ayin Aleph, chapter 71, on page 189 in the Schwartz edition. B'sikuma shel dover, in conclusion that the Rambam attacks the Kalam, Oymer lecha she'adover u'kamo she'oma timiastius, as timiastius is not the timiest, timiastius, who Oymer, he says, Einam b'tzias ha'lechus b'gubus ha'deyas. In other words, science is not a consequence of theology. Proper theology is a consequence of scientific fact. So now, what was bothering the Rambam? This is what I would claim. This seems to be, you know, simply. But what the Rambam is that if a person learns that there's a temporal sequence to my stipulations, a person might get what? An inaccurate view of the physical causality of the world. In other words, he might think that grass comes before rain, or comes before the celestial spheres. In other words, if the first chapter represents the evolution of the creation of the physical world, then he might get his meteorological determinism backwards. And that's not good. I mean, why should grass come before the sun? Or the Galgalim? That can't be. So therefore the Rambam abandons the temporal description of the creation of the world just to teach us that was, and in fact actually the Chumash is communicating to us that everything is out of order, and the Chumash is creating to us there's a hierarchy of creation, determinism. Things determine one to the other. But they're not in the temporal order as it's disgraced, discussed in Bereishis.
Maybe it's because he's trying to show that you don't have to, like he said earlier in 25, that you don't have to believe in creation ex nihilo in order to do something.
I understand that, but it's an incredible thing. Why is it an incredible thing? Because the Rambam began chapter 30, right? By claiming that Bereishis is speaking about creation ex nihilo, Bereish Miayim, he brought several chazals, which seemed to imply that the world was eternal, and he called it Meguna. And then he goes along, and at the very, very end, he comes to this conclusion that in fact, actually, I shouldn't take the temporal sequence of the Chumash in any way, literally or seriously. Now, it could possibly be, like, what's interesting is this, it could possibly be the world was created ex nihilo. In other words, but, I mean, the world could have been created ex nihilo. But, if I take literally the temporal description of creation, I might look at my physics wrong, because it's not compatible in terms of what Aristotle understood to be the natural hierarchy of determinism in the natural world. So in other words, you could say is that what the Rambam is saying is that creation ex nihilo is not a description of creation. In other words, if the first parak in Bereishis is describing creation, right? Then I can't take it literally. It's out of order. It was creation ex nihilo is not a concept of creation. Therefore, the Chumash can't describe the creation of the world. It can only describe the world the way it is. In other words, when I speak about creation ex nihilo, like we've been, this has been a major theme, it's been the central thing, has nothing to do with the description of the world or description of creation. You can't describe the creation of the world ex nihilo. You only describe the world the way it is. Creation ex nihilo is a mussar, a concept which we've spoken about many times before. That's like the only way I'm going to say the Rambam. Okay. And then he finally says on 367, the second paragraph of the Schwartz edition, Mimasha chayavat al hadas, what you have to know, here the Rambam brings a Gemara Rosh Hashanah that everything was created in its perfect state. It wasn't an evolution. By the way, against the Platonic view too. See, in Plato, there's an amorphous matter from which God creates the world. This is very Aristotelian. So everything was created in a perfect state. There wasn't an evolution in time from, you know, from a more basic state to a more complex state. But they should dwell in the tzviyonim and tzvihu lechol ha'atzois. Dazos gamkin hu ika gadol nochon ubor. Once again, the Rambam is setting out a lot of innuendos and allusions. This is an ika gadol. Which is interesting too. What the Rambam is also claiming is these secrets, Chazal knew these secrets. Okay, now, up till this point, the Rambam in chapter 30 is discussing the creation of the physical world. However, the Rambam is not finished. The Rambam basically wants to present to us the entire story of Maaseh Bereishis, meaning the creation of man, the creation of woman, Adam and Chava, Chet Etz Hadas, Kain Vehevel. This is the Rambam wants to present to us. Okay, we have to reflect upon this very deeply, which means that the Rambam is going to go a little bit beyond the literalism of the text. It says, "Zocha unekeva bara oisa." God created male and female. Who chasam as abriya kula va'ama, and he concludes the creation is vayachulu hashamayim va'ores v'chol tzvav. After that, his chil lachadasha, the bris chav ben adam. After that, the Torah again starts giving an account of the creation of chav ben adam. V'yizkir is etzachayin ve'etzadas. In other words, the Rambam notices that there are two accounts of the creation of woman. The first account is God created man and woman together. I mean, the Gemara speaks about this. Tav Yud Chesed Erevin, And then, after that, the Gemara, the Chumash, Vayechulu, concludes creation. And then once again, the Chumash starts up and starts speaking again about the creation of women, of woman from man. In other words, there are two accounts of the creation of woman from man, man and woman. V'sipu ha-nachash, Chol Oysa Maisa speaks about the story of the Nachash, and Oysa Maisa means the, you know, the first sin. Everything, all these events took place after Adam was placed in Gan Eden. All Chachamim are in agreement. Everything took place on the sixth day. After Shesh Bereishis, nothing changed. It was all these changes took place on the sixth day. After that, everything was back to the same. Therefore, it will not be terrible that which we said. Up till now, there wasn't a permanent natural state. But they mention things that I'll pick out things that they mention. And I will enlighten you. Things that they've spoken about. Da, says the Rambam, you should know. The things that are in the Kovel Chomim are in the highest order. And their interpretations are clear to whom they're intended. Very sophisticated. But I'm not going to say it explicitly, so I shouldn't be revealing secrets. I'm alluded to them in a certain order. Someone like you to embrace the Marna Vukim, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Which means, what the Rambam is basically going to say, clearly, is that he's going to allude to the fact that certain statements of Chazal seem to indicate that we are not to understand Bereishis. I'm saying this right now, we'll see this in a little while, literally, but rather that Sefer Bereishis is coming to express certain philosophical concepts. Adam and Chava created, connected, one to another. Gav al gav, it goes back to back. Who nechlach v'nilka chetzia? Right? They were, I guess, cut in half. He took half. Who chava v'hu aman mulay? And he was placed opposite her. Now, what it means, he took one of his ribs, I'm going to explain this in a little while, one of his two sides, because tzel means a side, asher turgmo sta mishkan, on the side of the mishkan, v'chein amru min tzitrui, from the side. And then he says, avin eifu kesen aysa havhar shem shenayim ifkidas ma ba'oid hemecha. Then you can understand how they two at the same time one. It was based upon this, you can understand how you can have two which are one. Kamosha Oma etzem yatzami bosom ipsari. Other Bereshit declares that a woman comes from him. And this is expressed by the fact that, in other words, they really have one name, Isha from each. Who Idgish has said, Achtusam, other Bereshit emphasizes their unity, like it says, V'dovet b'yisim v'dovet echad. How incredibly ignorant is someone who doesn't understand these things. Now, what is the Rambam saying here? In my opinion, to understand this, We have to go back to the very, very first section of the Bar Nevuchim. If we go to page 40, this is the Schwartz edition, Perek Vav. And here the Rambam is defining terms that appear in the Chumash. So it says, Perek Vav, Ish v'Isha, the terms Ish v'Isha, Hem Shnei Shemos. These are two words, two names. Shetchila Nikbo L'Gebev L'Isha. First, they described a man and a woman. And they were extended to include, you know, female and male parts of all animals. Like it says, shiva ish as if it said zochan akeva. After this, who shall Hashem isha l'chol dava mazum mechum l'zchabe al dava acher? After that, the word isha refers in general to anything that can be connected to something else. That, in other words, that was created for the purpose of connecting to something else. Like it says, Chamesha yiriyais tiyena chayvreis isha elachoysa. He says the same thing has to do with ach v'achayot. Now, what's the Rambam saying? What the Rambam is saying is that there was certain, that was ish for isha, doesn't necessarily refer to a man and a woman. It has a more general meaning as anything which is created or is, no, is teleologically created to connect to something else. Now, if you look here in the Meir Nevuchim, he speaks about Adam and Chava that were created, connected to each other, and each of them was, it was separated. He took care of, she took care of. Right? And when it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu took his rib, says the Rambam, we don't say a rib literally. It means that there's two parts of one thing. No, it doesn't mean it took a rib. It means that we created in a way that they would connect to each other. But it says it took a rib. A rib doesn't mean the actual rib of a person, but it means like one side. And then he goes and says, that's what it means to say, right? That you have two things which are one thing. In other words, what is the Chumash kind of trying to explain to me? The Chumash trying to explain to me, right, is that basically things are created that have a potentially, that have a potentiality of combining. In other words, they're created for a reason of combining. In other words, it's not just speaking about a man and a woman. We're speaking about that a fundamental central part of nature is that things connect and combine with each other. Now, based upon this, what we have is a very, very interesting thing. When it says, it's interesting, when it speaks about, what's the Rambam saying? What is the Chumash communicating to me when it speaks about Adam and Chava? Is the Chumash communicating to me a story about a man, the first man and the first woman? Or is the Chumash communicating to me a philosophical concept that certain things are created, right, to become, to combine and create one whole thing? In other words, it seems to me what the Rambam is really saying is, don't take the story necessarily literally. Those are the Boilim. the boilers, the ignorant thing, because Baruch took a rib and created a woman. Really, the story is merely coming to communicate to me that there's a concept called Ish and Isha in nature, in the world, and that in the physical world, two things can be two parts of one greater physical structure. Right, not a mythology. It's a, in other words, what Chazal is saying to me, it's not what Chazal is saying, but I should take Bereshit literally. The stories didn't really happen. It's communicating to me philosophical ideas. And as the Rambam says, he's been Megalus, he's just hinting at it.
Was there a guy named Adam?
What? Very interesting. Was there a guy named Adam? So what's interesting is, let's go back to Perek, the Chelek Aleph, okay? Page 48, Perek Yudal. Libby, I'm very happy you asked me that question, because that gets me to the very next thing.
Which
Perek
is that?
Chelek Aleph, Perek Yudal. It's page 48 in the Schwartz edition. The word Adam has several meanings, says Rambam. Hashem Meshut of Adam, who Shmosh Adam Arisha. It's the name of Adam Arishan. Unigza, where does it come from? From that which is as the pasuk min Adama. But Adam also means mankind. Yeshu Shema Min. Like it says, Lo Yodin Ruchi Ba Adam. Nothing can be the men. Mi Yodea Ruch Awach Bre Adam. Umayis Adam Nabe Ma'ayim. Yeshu Shem Lahamoy. It's also, sometimes other can mean a lot of people. Like it says, the Pshuti Am Zulasam Yuchada. When it speaks about the masses of people, not the, you know, not the elite. B'nei Adam Gam B'nei Yish. And then it has a third meaning. So what does Adam mean? Adam can mean several things. It can mean a person. It can mean mankind. So who is Adam Arishon? Is Adam Arishon? Is he a person? Or are we speaking about mankind?
Clearly, the first Adam was, as I said, there's the name of Adam Arishon.
He calls Adam Arishon.
You can call mankind throughout history. You can only have one Adam Arishon, which he says is one of the meanings of the name.
Yeah, but however, no, he says it's called Adam Arishon. But the fact is, when the Torah speaks about Adam, he says Adam Barish. Doesn't say Adam Barish anywhere in the Chumash. When the Torah says Adam, what's it referring to?
Is there ever another time in the Torah that Adam means Adam Barish besides Adam Barish? Meaning
no.
You can't.
What he's doing is bringing Pesukim where Adam clearly does not mean Adam Barish. Umayza Adam min abehema ayin.
But there must be
an
interface where Adam means Adam Arishon and can only mean.
No, I don't say I disagree with you. He said that Adam can have three meanings. It can refer to what we call Adam Arishon. But who says when it says Adam in the Torah, it means Adam Arishon? Maybe it's referring to mankind in general. Maybe it means two things.
Yeah.
Maybe it means two things. Maybe it's referring to Adam Arishon, but it's also referring to Adam in general.
So where does Adam in the Torah mean Adam Arishon? It has to be one place there, because it says that that's one of the meanings.
No. Adam Arishon, in other words, you can understand Adam means literally. In other words, Adam Arishon means half the time we literally understand the pasuk. But the word Adam can be understood on different levels. Right? Now, first, certainly, I mean, look, if Adam is literally, so Tzel is literal too. Obviously, Tzel of the Ram is not literal. It's referring to two parts of one thing. The Ram spoke about Ish Ve'isha. In other words, what is my separation? When it speaks about the separation, what is the Chumash speaking about? Is the Chumash speaking about actual people? Or is the Chumash speaking about mankind? I mean, for the Rambam, as we see a little while, the Nachash certainly doesn't literally mean a snake. I don't say that explicitly. And the snake doesn't mean a snake. And a tzela doesn't mean a tzela. Who says other means other?
The problem is that there are other times where a snake does mean snake.
I know, but here it doesn't. We'll see in a little while. Here it doesn't. Speaking about the Yetzirah. And as the Rambam says, lo yaguna dovam in advarim, they won't be so terrible, like we said, sha'ar atalo have a teva kavua. Why is that true? Because it's coming to explain to us philosophical concepts. Don't think it's coming to tell us that there was a crazy, you know, it was a crazy nature.
Is there any time in Kulmish that Adam doesn't mean Elmerishim?
No, it might, but it might also mean something else too.
Is there any time that it just means Adam Elmerishim and nothing else?
I don't know.
When it says he lived on 900,
I don't know.
That means
so he's speaking about the first parak. It's mashma. Yeah, it's mashma in the Rambam. The first, we always speak about the first parak. I think we get the Parshas Noach already. The Rambam is gonna right.
So Rutrus is saying that in the first parak of Bereishis, Adam means both an individual and mankind.
Right, at least
mankind.
It might mean only mankind too. Or put it this way, it might on a deep level for the intelligent reader. Right? The Kamoscha, it might be mankind. If Hamanam, it means Adam HaRishon, a real person. What is the Rambam saying? In any case, what's the Rambam doing? What the Rambam is doing is telling us that really Maisa Bereishis, the secret message of Maisa Bereishis, is to communicate to me the central ideas of Aristotelian meteorology, right? And the, you know, the basic general themes of humanity. Speak about the Yetzer Hara, etc., etc. Kind of, we'll get to all these things. Okay, I think we'll conclude over here. How much longer do we have?
Good time.
Okay, and till the next class, be well.